have baptismal in our service this morning. We're going to observe the ordinance of baptism. We were blessed to observe the Lord's Supper last Sunday evening. One of the two ordinances in the church, baptism, the other. We're going to observe it today. And so as we look to God's word, verse 16 of Matthew 28 says, "Then the 11 disciples, which constituted his church at that time, went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations." Now, the church, his church, the churches that descended from his church, in this passage of scripture, are authorizing or placing the authority into which preaching the gospel is in that local New Testament church or churches of like faith and order. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." The authority through the local church is where you have authority to baptize. "In the name of the Father," that's by his authority, "of the Son," by his authority, "and of the Holy Spirit," that's by his authority, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." And by the way, we should observe all things that he's commanded. Where do we have them? In the scripture, the word of God. And beyond any question or shadow of doubt, and if you have any question or shadow of doubt, get into the word of God, examine it, search, look at, see what you can find. Be sure that it is the word of God, that you understand and know that. The Holy Bible is the word of God. And by the way, it's preserved in its entirety, totally, in the King James Version when one studies and rightly divides the Bible. "Teaching them to observe the all things whatsoever I commanded you." That's the word of God. He's commanded his church to go and preach the gospel. He's commanded his church then to baptize those that are saved and then to teach them to observe the all things that he has set forth in his word. And by the way, they're not a suggestion. His word is not a guide. When he commands, brother, we're to obey it. And there's no gray. It's either black or it's white. Now you think about it. It's black or white. He told Joshua when they went in to the land to conquer it, he told him as far as doctrine and teaching and so forth, he set forth to the Hebrews that they were not to leave to the right or to the left, but straight on when it come to the truth. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway," that's all the way, not all ways, because there's some ways that we go that's not according to the word, he's not with us then. "So I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Scriptural baptism is what we're looking at this morning and what we're looking for. In order to have scriptural baptism, you must have an individual who has been saved by the grace of God, one who's believed with their heart and trusted in Jesus to the saving of their soul. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37. Acts 8 and 37. We have the Philip, the evangelist, and the Ethiopian eunuch, and the account of that situation there. Philip was a member of the Jerusalem church. He was chosen as a deacon, and then God called him to be an evangelist. And so he was preaching, and then the Spirit brought him to the eunuch so that he could teach him more perfectly the ways of the Lord, or that he could expound to him and explain to him what he was reading about concerning Jesus. And Philip said, when he said what hindered him to be baptized, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart," if you believe with all your heart, that's to the saving of your soul. Book of Romans, Paul covered it time and time again. You got to believe with the heart. You believe with the heart. You confess with the mouth. You believe with the heart. God deals with man through the heart. "And if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You believe it? You better. You believe it with all your heart. You must. Listen, baptism is for believers, those that have believed in and trusted in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 3, beginning with verse number 7, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, we have John the Baptist who was given authority from God to preach and to baptize. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse number 7. It says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able with these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." I believe he's talking about the Gentiles. And he has. He can. And so, he refused to administer water baptism to them because they could not bring forth evidence to confirm that they had believed with their heart and trusted in Jesus to the saving of his soul. They could not confirm that they were believers. He refused to administer baptism to them. Now look at look at Mark 13. We must have a believer, a scriptural candidate for water baptism. Mark 13. Verse number 34. "For the Son of Man is come as a man taking a far journey who left his house." Now, 1 Timothy 3:15, "that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now, he says the Son of Man, Jesus, is as a man taking a far journey who left his house, the church, and gave authority to his servants, his church, who he authorized to baptize, his New Testament church, his New Testament churches. How do we know that it went from one church to another? As churches were established from the church at Jerusalem, the authority was passed to them when they were organized into a New Testament church. And so, he gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch, or to be busy and be ready, watch for the coming of Jesus. The authority that's in a New Testament church is the authority from God. The same authority that John the Baptist had. Look at John chapter 1 and verse number 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Is authority important in baptism? Absolutely. Listen, Jesus walked some 60 odd miles, they say, in order to be baptized of John in the Jordan River. Now, he could have authorized anyone he wanted to baptize because he's the authority. But he didn't. He went to the one who had already been authorized, setting the example for all of mankind, and you and me in particular. And he went to him because he had the authority to administer water baptism. Where should you go to get scriptural baptism today? A scriptural New Testament church, one whose lineage goes back to the church that Jesus built, not back to a man that organized or made a church, not by a group of men who organized or made a church, but by the church that Jesus built. Because Matthew 16:18, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He still has New Testament churches come forth from that original church in the world today. Where do we find it? In the New Testament. Study and search. Find it for yourself. Prove it for yourself. When I first got saved, baptized, and joined the church, I had questions. I had doubts. You mean to tell me you people are trying to tell me you're the only church that exists that belongs to the Lord? So I had to search and I had to study and I had to pray. And you know what? The more I searched and the more I studied, the more I become convinced and confirmed that's so. That's so. This kind of church is the only kind of church that descended from the church that Jesus built. That's what he's talking about. Matthew 16:18. That's keeping in creation. Everything he created brought forth after its kind. And by the way, even this earth's going to bring forth after its kind. What do you mean? I mean, there's a new heaven, new earth coming. This is going to pass away, melt with fervent heat, Peter said. And he's going to have a new earth. One like this one. Without sin. Amen. Without suffering and without sorrow. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John had the authority to baptize scripturally. John 1 and 6, still yet, he said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And then Luke 6 and verse number 33, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. This is John the Baptist talking here, or the Spirit through him. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave authority to John, and John was administering water baptism by heaven's authority. Look with, again here. Let's look up to verse number 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. John came baptizing with water, authorized from God to baptize Jesus for the purpose of making manifest that he was the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. To make manifest. Why are we baptized today? To make manifest that we are the sons of God, not in order to become the sons of God. There's no magic in the water. I don't care if it's blessed and holy water, it still don't take away sin. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that takes away the sin of man. Not the water. The water is to make manifest that we are the sons of God. That's why John refused to baptize those who couldn't show evidence that they had been saved or born again. Couldn't bring evidence. They really truly believed with their heart that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 1, he gave authority to the apostles. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Jesus then gave authority to his church. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Bible says, go ye therefore, speaking to his New Testament church, at the appointed place, appointed time, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Gave authority to his church to baptize. What does that mean? Does that mean the church is in control? No, that means they work under the authority of Christ that he placed in his New Testament church. Oh, he didn't put man in control. Well, you don't believe in church authority. I do too. I believe that through New Testament churches, the authority of Christ exists and they function under that authority. They carry out that authority. By the way, the church is his body. He's the head. So it's he who's doing it through the church. Men don't like that because that takes away that ego feeding of the ego that we have that's too big no matter what. But listen, he gave authority to the church. Now, in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, there was a fellow by the name of Apollos. And this fellow was baptizing. And he'd been baptized by John the Baptist. But he had no authority to baptize. 19th chapter. Beginning with verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth. Now Apollos was here in Ephesus and he was teaching and had a following. And no doubt they were having church as man would look at it today. But there was no authority. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Priscilla and Aquila had gotten contact with Apollos, taught him more perfectly the ways of the Lord, sent him to Achaia, where the church at Corinth was, that he might be worked through the local church there at Corinth under the authority of Christ. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Spirit since ye believed? Have ye received the gifts of the Holy Spirit after you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? What he's asking is, what authority were you baptized by? And they said unto John's baptism. Well, Apollos made it clear that he had John's baptism. But he never joined a church. He had no authority. All right. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. That is, he baptized them after they repented, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Who baptized them? The Apostle Paul, who was sent out by the church at Antioch in the 13th chapter book of Acts. Paul baptized by the authority of Christ that come through that New Testament church in Antioch. These folks were baptized by a person by the name of Apollos, who had been baptized by John the Baptist but never joined a New Testament church. So what did they do? Paul baptized them again. But there's only one baptism, Ephesians 4. That's right. There's only one scriptural baptism. And until you get it, you don't have it. No. I'm not sorry, but I can say I'm sorry if you don't have it. But listen, you're without excuse for not getting it. God's not going to leave you ignorant. He's going to bring you somewhere or other to where it's open to you and you have a choice. Then they heard, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12, plus the women and children. They what? They received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which Paul was asking them, have you received it yet? They couldn't receive it if they didn't have the authority. And the authority come with the spiritual gifts. Right there, he organized the church at Ephesus that we read about. It's like a marriage ceremony. Anybody can take you through the marriage ceremony, but only those who have the authority will make that marriage proper, make it right, or make it legal. Baptism declares the death, burial, and resurrection. Look at Romans 6, verses 4 and 5. Romans chapter 6. Baptism is a pictorial ordinance. The two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, are pictorial ordinances. Romans 6, beginning with verse 4, he says, therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his Son, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Baptism declares the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It gives us the assurance that like he died and was buried and rose again, we who have put our faith and trust in him shall raise again also. Baptism is not an act of righteousness. Baptism is a burial in water, presenting the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 16. Matthew, the third chapter, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Jesus went up straightway out of the water. He was baptized in the Jordan River. He was in the water. He was buried in that water. Now we're baptized with reference to his death, burial, and resurrection. And listen, he was sealed in a tomb, totally immersed in the earth, 3 days and three nights, when he arose again. So baptism is a burial in water. It is not a sprinkling or a pouring. It is a burial. Then in Acts, the 8th chapter, verse 38, the Ethiopian eunuch there, he, after he was baptized, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Our example, they both went down into the water. This thing of a preacher sitting outside of a bathtub so he don't get wet. Now you mustn't get the preacher wet. I mean, after all, he is too, whatever he is. Yes. Listen, they went down into the water. Come up out of the water. By the way, the priests went into the river, didn't they? went in the Red Sea. They all went in and come up out after being immersed. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit, and so forth and so on. Then in Matthew 3 and 15. Okay. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized. Forbid him, I have thee to baptize of thee, and comest thou to me. And Jesus answering said, suffer it to be now, so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God's well pleased for those who are saved, who receive scriptural baptism. Baptism after the example of Jesus. What's that example? He was the Son of God, baptized to make manifest that he was. And he went to the authority, the individual who had the authority to administer water baptism. That authority passed from him to the New Testament church. And so New Testament churches is where the authority lies. And when one is baptized by that authority in that order, God is well pleased. Baptism is an answer of a good conscience toward God. Until one has scriptural baptism, though he's saved, though he'll go to heaven, he still doesn't have a good conscience toward God. Because God's going to convict, draw him. And when he hears the truth, it's going to make him mad and upset, irritated. My mother, she just threw a fit. My baptism is good. My baptism is good. Yeah, I'm satisfied. Wait a minute. What she was confronted with is the Lord satisfied with your baptism? Doesn't make any difference. We're satisfied. It is he satisfied? He's the one we're going to have to answer to. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Except you're willing from the heart to turn from self and sin, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in humility and from the heart. Seek his forgiveness in prayer. Prayer doesn't save you, but it's simply a means by which we can get Jesus to save us. He'll give us the peace that passes all understanding, the Bible says, and that we can then have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Have you had that experience? Do you know you have peace with God? If you don't, you need to come to Jesus. If you know that and haven't been scripturally baptized, you need to come to Jesus. You need to come where you can be scripturally baptized. Let's stand. What shall we sing, brother?
can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow.
Jesus.
Where he leads me, I will follow.
You may feel like you don't have to, but listen, you need to. You need to come to him. I'm not asking you to come to this preacher. I'm not asking you to come to this church. But I'm asking you to come to Jesus. We can't take care of your problems and your sin. We can't provide scriptural order for you. Only he can. So all we can do is point you to him who can take care of you. If you'll only come. No, you don't have to, because he leaves you free to choose. But you should.
All the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him all. I'll go with them through the judgment. I'll go with him all the way.
Lord, in a word of prayer. Brother Trevor, voice our prayer.
Hymn 390.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? And at peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, and at peace and contentment always? You must do sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid?